Dynasty Football Network presents Super Flexible Podcast with your two co-hosts, Tudrick and Swags, and host, Steve Halepka.
Let's go!
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? It is dress rehearsal weekend for the NFL, and we are here once again with another episode of the Super Flexible Podcast. I am your host, Steve Halepka, back from my assignment last week with my other job. Of course, here tonight with my boys, Tudrick. What's going on, Tudrick?
Well, what up, dude? Nice to have you back, Steve.
Oh, nice to be back. Nice to be back for sure. And then Swags. What's going on, Swags?
What's up, man? We get to welcome you back the moment that Tyrod Taylor walks back into the game.
Woohoo! Oh, big news for the Browns. Big news for the Browns. We'll get into that in a second. But yeah, definitely want to touch on some of preseason week three action right now. Right now, the Browns and the Eagles are playing. A couple injuries, a couple guys coming back from being injured during the game. We'll touch on that in a second. But first, let's find out where you can find us on Twitter. So, Swags, where can the folks find you on Twitter?
I am at DFF underscore Swag.
Awesome. And what about you, Tudrick?
At FL2Drink Minimum and at Superflex Pod. Hit it up.
Awesome. And I am at The Real Halepka and at Superflex Trades. Hit us up. You know, hashtag Superflex. We're always answering those questions, too.
We missed you last week, though, Steve. At some points, I didn't know if I was on Dynasty Trades HQ or the Super Flexible Show.
So, yeah, big shout-out to a bunch of the guys that hopped on last week.
For
I know Flag and Tudrick were really looking forward to chatting with some of the other guys from a bunch of the other podcasts of the DFF Network. So, big shout-out to all those guys that hopped on last week. But definitely happy to be back and bringing the order back to the Super Flexible Podcast. That's what I'm talking about. So before we get into the news and notes and just to go over some of the topics we're going to cover tonight. So of course, a ton of stuff going on right now in the NFL news wise, going to talk about roster construction in your redraft Superflex leagues. And then we got a boatload of Superflex trades. Of course, that hashtag Superflex, tag us in the trades at Superflex Trades at Superflex Podcast. So first let's talk about a new sponsor of ours. Yeah. Let's talk about SquadQL.
This is what happens when you leave for a week, Steve. We get sponsored. Just kidding.
I know, right?
Awesome new place here, SquadQL. So you guys want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, besides listening to us, of course. Guys, look no further than SquadQL. It's the only mobile app you will need to crush your friends and rivals. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineups for each week based on your starters, bench players, and even what's on the free agent there. SquadQL provides waivers and trade recommendations too. Go to SquadQL right now for free and download it. It's brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy optimizer, trusted by over 100,000 DFS players. So you know it's good. Guys, go check out SquadQL. Really cool.
Yeah, it's an awesome app. I know I've been using it the last couple of years. Totally great. So definitely check it out. So let's go into some news and notes from around the NFL. First big one here coming out of Giants camp, ESPN's Jordan Renan, says that Odell Beckham and the Giants have made progress on a record breaking contract for the wide receiver, soon to be free agent wide receiver, potentially. So let me ask you, Swags, if Beckham stays a New York Giant for the next foreseeable future, how is that impacting your kind of dynasty rankings of him? Is he still, you know, a top three asset? Where do you think he's going to be?
Oh, I love it. It doesn't change my rankings at all. If anything, you know, it might bump him up a little bit. It's exciting for me. I think he deserves it. I'm all for paying your guys. So I love it.
Awesome. What about you, Tudrick? Does that change your thoughts about Beckham at all?
I mean, I think you and I, Steve, both have OBJ at the very top anyway. So I think I had him a couple spots back. So I can't go any higher than one, but it definitely makes me feel better to know that get this done and we don't have to have the headache of, is he going to hold out or that, you know, play that game. So
yeah, for sure.
Waited for him on, you know, maybe during the off season or before just with some of that. Not that you got a discount, but you're feeling a lot better now about it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm excited for him to be a Giant. I mean, obviously, we've seen his crazy-ass numbers he's put up the first couple years of his career. My only concern is what quarterback the Giants will have once Eli Manning is gone. Obviously, you know, Davis Webb's looking a lot better than Kyle LaLetta right now. I don't think the answer is on the roster right now to be the Giants starter going forward, but I think he like maybe has an extra year or two. Totally agree with you, though, Tudrink. He's going to be my number one dynasty asset still going forward. Let's talk about some Colts news now, and specifically in the backfield, which has been basically a mess so far this preseason. Naheem Hines fumbling the ball. Jordan Wilkins can't get on the field with the ones. But let's talk about Marlon Mack. So Frank Reich, the head coach of the Colts, said it's no slam dunk that Marlon Mack is ready to start the season. So going into, you know, best ball season and things like that, Marlon Mack was a very popular mid-round pick. So let's start with you this time, Tudrink. Out of the backs, the many backs in Indy, which one do you want to own the most, regardless of ADP? Which is your favorite back to own in Indy?
Man, they're all kind of gross. I feel like this is more down your line. You've been pumping Wilkins.
And I know, dude.
I guess time, but not even that feels great. I think that's just more boy Memphis trying to talk me into that, you know, kind of 8-10 point, you know, easy kind of flex there with a couple of PPR catches, but it's also money there.
Yeah. No, I don't
know that we get enough out of any of them right now.
Yeah, I mean, the fear is it turns into like the Eagles, right? Where you've got Wilkins or Christine Michael right now, like getting the early down work. Another guy's in there for passing downs, and another guy's in there like spell them all. It's just a cluster. But Swags, is there any indie running back that you would own?
If I were to go after one, it would actually be Marlon Mack. So it's kind of fun that we all favor a different one, but I don't have any shares of any of those guys in any leagues. I'm completely staying away just because it's so murky and you just don't know. So it's kind of a tough situation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely partial to Jordan Wilkins. I thought he ran pretty well. He had a fumble near the end zone. He was trying to reach out and you know, just tip the ball over, but I think he's run well even with the twos. Really being able to hit the hole on zone runs and has some power that I don't think the other backs necessarily have on that roster. But of course, he's still running with the twos, which sucks. And I think he's a nice late rounder, like round 11, round 12, if you can get him there. And you might have to hold him for a couple weeks, but I think he takes that job eventually. I'm like totally out of Marlon Mack. I don't think he's that good at football, to be honest. He's very flashy. He can make a big play, but like play in, play out, he's not consistent enough for me to really get the job done.
Do you think Wilkins is good enough in pass protection there to keep that from the veterans there? Or is that maybe why we're going to see more Michael and what is it, even Turbin after a few games when he comes back?
Yeah. That's the big question, right? And that's what really normally blocks rookie running backs from getting on the field is making sure, you know, the $100 million investment can stay upright. I know Wilkins did some pass blocking at Ole Miss. I do think, though, it seems like he's got to improve there in order to really get the trust of his teammates and the coaching staff. So, yeah, you might be right to drink to say, hey, maybe the first three or four games, it's more C-Mike because he can pass block. And then when Wilkins picks it up, he's able to then maybe assume more of that role. So I totally get what you're talking about.
Maybe Wilkins is, I mean, it's not crazy on this scale, but like Kamara was dropped first couple of weeks last year while AP and Mark Ingram were all getting the work and they dropped him. And then Kamara, you know that. I'm not saying Wilkins is that extreme, but maybe somebody to look at weeks 3, 4, 5 on the waivers if, you know, ready for that guy to pop.
Yep. Totally agree, man. Totally agree. So let's stick with the AFC South and move to Titans camp, where head coach Mike Vrabel is talking about Rishard Matthews, saying he's close to coming off the active PUP list. You know, Matthews has had this kind of mystery knee ailment for the longest time now. Hopefully we'll be back at camp. So Matthews has been a very steady, you know, wide receiver 3 type in terms of production over the last couple of years. So Swag, we'll start with you. If Matthews is good to go off the active PUP and ready for week 1, would you take a late round flyer on him?
Man, I think I would right now because we're talking a lot of redraft today, and I think that he's the kind of guy that you can go and get after your draft and throw on your IR if you have one And even if he doesn't play week one, he'll still be something you can use that IR as a roster spot all year long. So I think with the connection he has with Mariota that, he's not, I still like Corey Davis. So you're not going to get that out of me, but, yeah, definitely go get some Matthews super cheap.
Yeah. So let's go talk on the dynasty lens to drink. So first, are you, if you're a Rishard Matthews guy, I'm not sure if you are or not. Like, what's the price that you would pay to acquire Rishard Matthews right now?
I mean, during the offseason, I paid peanuts. I paid like Doug Martin and a fifth or
that's great. Something
stupid. I think like, I don't know that I want a whole lot more of it. If Dynasty, I'm ready for the youth movement, and I know it was one preseason game, but it looked nice. And if we get that much Taylor involvement, I'm gonna like that a little bit more. And I might be able to get it for cheaper, at least close. I think that was probably close in price there.
Yeah, it's funny you ask it like that now because in Dynasty, I'm not interested. Even at a cheap price, I just don't really want him as part of my future. But I like him for cheap in redraft.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, so that makes sense.
Not my guy. You know what I mean? But yeah, I want to make that clear.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense to me. I think he is certainly more of a redraft play. Although I do think in dynasty leagues, like having that veteran presence, that may not be like a flashy young name like a Corey Davis or like a maybe like a Cooper Kupp, but someone who's consistent, who during bye weeks and when you're really struggling with injuries, someone like, you know, Rishard Matthews, maybe to a lesser extent, DeSean Jackson, those guys can fill in for you and typically give you a decent week when you're really struggling to find some consistency. So totally get that particularly in Dynasty is not worth as much, but yeah, I'm 100% on board with you, Swags, with the redraft take for sure.
What there's still a few of these going on. What about best ball just for those two guys there? Like just a little bit of a take on it, but Rishard Matthews or Taywan Taylor. I mean, it's probably one of your last two.
Oh, man.
You don't have to pick the game, you know, that it's going to go off, but into the season, who's got a couple bigger games there?
Do I have to pick one?
Yep. This is how this goes.
I'm going to let Steve go first.
That's fine. Yeah.
Sell me, Steve.
I'll take Taywan. I think he's got the long speed, even though he's playing the slot mostly, to take a big play to the house. Where I think Rishard will be the more consistent player, but in best ball, hey, if I can get 3 or 4 weeks of him actually scoring on my roster from a late round draft pick, I'll take Taywan Taylor.
Yeah, I kind of like it too. I think even because if he hits pup like going into the season, you never know with some of these injuries if it lingers, and then you don't have him at all.
Yeah, totally agree. Mm-hmm. And he's a besides IR, totally worthless roster spot. Totally agree, man. So let's now move from the AFC South to the NFC South, where Saints ESPN reporter Mike Triplett is putting Jonathan Williams as the leading candidate to fill Mark Ingram's role during his suspension to start the season off. So if you're a dynasty owner of Mark Ingram, I mean, typically you're going to have a boatload of running backs on your roster. But if you're desperate and Jonathan Williams is out there, I mean, he's probably going to be in a bunch of waiver wires unless it's a super deep dynasty league. Swags, what would you be paying for Jonathan Williams if you're the Ingram owner?
In Fab, probably like $7. Not a lot, but I'd really like to get him more for, even if I'm not the Ingram owner, and use him just as an asset. I think everything's got value in Dynasty. You just have to find the value and who's going to pay the most. That's why I want him.
If so, I'll move to you now to drink. If he's on a roster somewhere, would you be looking to acquire him because you know the Saints running backs are going to have value, like because that position group is always scored well in fantasy? Would you be open to, I don't know, paying a fourth round pick in 2019 to get Jonathan Williams on your roster for 4 weeks?
I'd probably do that too.
Okay. I guess, but what are you looking to flip that as then though? Like Ingram's coming back, you know, week five. Then they got to buy like a bye week in six and then come back in seven there. But what do you, I'll pay a fourth to get him. What am I riding that out? And then it's worth less than that. Right. Or I have to look to immediately try to trade him somewhere else and flip that. Like, what do you got? Like, you want to ride that out for a couple of games and trust it?
Well,
for the,
if ahead. You were in a and if he was like if you were in a 2018 rookie draft this week, I know that's super late, and the way the 12 teams in the fourth round, if he was sitting there, I might even draft him in the fourth round this year. So why not pay a 2019 fourth?
Yeah, sure. I totally agree with that. And I mean, if he plays well, and we've seen him do that in the past at Buffalo, right? I mean, Williams was, you know, the one be there for Shady for a little bit. If he plays well, why can't he have the role when Ingram's gone next year? Ingram's a free agent after this year. Why can't Jonathan Williams be that, you know, complimentary back to Kamara? If he actually performs these first 4 weeks. So I think there's some potential there for a long-term dynasty like stash for Jonathan Williams, because we've seen him do it before. We've seen him be successful in the league. He just ran into a bunch of issues. So if he's right, I think he's got maybe some potential with the Saints.
All right, Steve, I just got him for a 2019 fourth from Swag. What do you want him? You're going to give me a third now?
I like that. Because I jumped on it for the fourth pretty quick. I was on it. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. That was a smart move.
You got that asset for cheap. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's roster construction, right? If I'm deep at running back, then no way in hell. But, I think I would do a third in 2020.
I think I'm going to stay with Swag Side.
You know, more? Totally fair. Yeah. Like I said, I think there's some potential there. Would I give up an extra pick around to get him? No. I mean, I'd rather get him as cheap as possible for sure. But
Steve, I'll give him to you for that 2020 instead of the fourth.
2023rd? Yeah. I'll take the 2023rd. Okay, cool. Yeah,
we'll stop talking to Two Drink.
All right, sounds good. Let's shut it out.
All right, sounds good.
But again, like, I'm going to stay, because we mentioned redraft at the beginning, and I'm going to stick on the Saints super quick, and I think that Ingram is a great, like, you can get him pretty cheap this year and have him come start for you week 4, and he'll be nice and fresh and probably relieve Kamara a little bit, even if Kamara's having a really nice season. So somebody you can stash for later in the season. Not even that late. You don't have to wait too long, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. Go ahead, Go ahead.
He's out 4 weeks, right? So he comes back week 5.
He comes back week 5, correct.
Okay.
And then there's a bye week in 6, so you guys comfortable? I mean, outside of something crazy like a Kamara injury or something stupid, like, let's not do that. But are you going to be like, yeah, week 5, putting him in, locked and loaded? Like, you're not worrying about it?
I see what you're saying there, like starting him this first week back.
Yeah. And then it's a bye week. So now we're in week 7 and you're like, okay, he had the bye. I can play him that week. But that's week 7, and in redraft, playoffs start in what, 13? But more than half of this season, I did not get to start Ingram. You want to make me pay a middle-round pick for that? I think that's too much.
I mean, I think you get a really nice running back in time for your starting running back bye weeks, and he's somebody that otherwise would have been drafted with the people you're starting to cover your bye weeks with. So you're covering your bye weeks with Mark Ingram instead of Giovanni Bernard or Theo Riddick or those late backs like that, which is fine with me.
Yeah, I mean, that's not necessarily true right now. I'm looking at a fantasy football calculator. I haven't filtered it just for August now, but right now Ingram's going at the end of the fourth round. He's 4-11.
That's a little early.
Yeah.
I got him in the 7th or 8th the other night in an actual draft.
That's a great value.
And that was a redraft. So that was kind of more like how it was on my head. But
yeah. No, if you've got him in the 7th or 8th, I think it's an absolute steal. I think he's going like end of the 4th, early 5th right now, and I still think people are taking that value just because of how good he was last year.
Twice redraft already, and I'm like, nope, thank you. I'll take somebody else right behind him. No problem.
Got it. Okay. Let's move on now from one running back that's, you know, trying to make his way back into the league after 4 games to a guy that just got signed. So Adrian Peterson, old man Adrian, signed with the Redskins, joins that mess of Fit Rob, Samaji P. Ryan, and Chris Thompson. So let me ask first to Swags, besides Chris Thompson and PPR, are any of these Redskins running backs appealing to you either as a dynasty asset or for redraft?
For me, the ones I would be most interested in are AP and P. Ryan. I'm not really a believer of Kelly's talent. Now, it's such a tough situation. So I don't think we can ignore the fact that Adrian Peterson is there. And at first I kind of wanted to. So, and I was just like all in on P. Ryan. But,
yeah.
I mean, man, if AP's there and he gets a decent amount of touches, like,
yeah,
it's Adrian Peterson, you know? And so he, I think that he, every, so the, Kamara's not there and Ingram's not there. I mean, I know you just, you don't sound like you like Ingram a lot, but I would say, would you agree that Ingram's better than P. Ryan or Kelly?
Most definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's the thing. Like, so he doesn't have that as good of competition. So, man, like, he could be a beast if he gets the touches. But then I want P. Ryan more in Dynasty. And as a Geis owner, I think P. Ryan's the guy I'm kind of after to be my handcuff for my foreseeable future. But AP, man, I put some fab in that was probably too much in a couple Dynasty leagues, like $40 to $50 just to make sure I'd get him because I'm a believer and I need to spend that money by the end of the year anyway. I'm not in any rollovers. So if anything, you can trade him. There's going to be trade hype there and crap like that. So yeah, I don't mind it at all. That was pretty long-winded for Adrian Peterson, but
no, that's
I think he
that's
could
fine.
Be more viable than I want to admit, and I have to admit it. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you, when you say $40, $50, what's the budget? Like $200, $1,000? What's the budget you have to work with in your fab?
Anywhere from $200 to $300. Any of the same. Okay. I threw about the same amount in no matter what percent it was. But right, $300
so it's
was
like almost
the
a quarter.
Most. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Almost a quarter of the budget. Okay. That makes sense. So Chew Drink, are you digging AP this year in any format or are you like a Fit Rob guy? Who's your back to own? Besides Chris Thompson of PPR,
I mean, I guess it's AP. I'm with Swags initially. I hated it, and it's just like he was saying the what was it? The two games once he moved to Arizona that he got more than like 20 touches. He had like 130 yards, and then that monster game, that mm-hmm. 60 or 175 somewhere in there. And then all the other times he didn't get that, he was unstartable. So the Redskins line, if it's healthy, is pretty, I would say definitely better than Arizona's was last year.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other options in his way are not as challenging to him. So if we get that and Gruden doesn't mind handing the ball off a bunch there. So, I mean, I definitely love it more than half point. And I guess that people still play standard, but I guess AP, I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, I think I'm avoiding all the running backs in Washington this year. Unless one, gosh, I mean, obviously you can't tell going to a draft which one's going to get the full workload. I just don't think they're going to commit to one of them, to be honest. So I'm kind of avoiding that situation, even though the offensive line's healthy and should be better. And Alex Smith does target his running backs every once in a while. I think they're just going to eat from each other. So I'm kind of out on the Redskins' backfield, to be honest, this year. Go ahead.
Are we looking to trade him after a good game early? First three games he has a decent game. Is it time to move him, or are you going to sit on that and ride it out?
No, I think by that point you'll be able to fill your bench with another running back, either off the waiver wire or whatever the case may be. I think the first sign Adrian Peterson does something positive, you talk to your local Vikings fan or the AP truther who's has the little jersey or action figure of Adrian Peterson in the like their kids room.
Yeah.
And then you
in their kids room, that's so ironic.
Yeah. And you trade them as soon as you possibly can. So let's move to a couple guys that got cut. So Kenny Britt cut from the Patriots. It seems like there's two or three receivers now on the Patriots roster before Julian Edelman comes back. I know Braxton Berrios has been a sleeper for in the Dynasty community for a little bit, so he actually might get some run. Chris Hogan just seems like his value is crazily increasing now. I would not be shocked if he's like beginning of the fourth round draft pick.
Yeah, people are taking him super early, dude.
Yeah, there's nobody else there. Tim and Gronk.
Philip Dorsett.
Yep, Philip Dorsett's garbage. We all know that.
But a lot of Patriots receivers are garbage, and then they just end up being good there. I mean, you're not even trying to be like a jerk about it. Like they get used a lot differently there. I mean, we're talking about maybe Patterson being relevant this year. You know what I mean? Like he's been a joke for a while. Like, and these are players that they're keeping around. They're even saying they might bring Jordan Matthews back in. But I mean, I'm not a Hogan guy more because of age and don't sleep on Dorsett, man.
Yeah, I mean, he's a deep threat, right? We know he's got the speed to burn people deep. He's a first round, has that first round pedigree, so that's there as well. So it could definitely be interesting. I just think it's going to be the Chris Hogan and Gronk show until the running backs are all healthy and they just destroy people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So real quick, the Chiefs cut Charcandrick West, saving about $2 million for that one. And the Bucks also placed Charles Sims on IR, ending his season. So it looks like, you know, the combination of Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber will be the two backs to own, at least for 2018 in Tampa.
Jaquizz Rogers still there?
He's still there. He's probably going to be the third back.
Doesn't really matter, yeah.
Yep, he'll still be the third back. I mean, he got some run last year. He had about two or three good weeks where they just gave him the ball.
And then they just kind of were done with him, weren't they?
Everyone got healthy. Martin got healthy. And Peyton Barber started to play. So, but yeah, Chiquiz had like two really ridiculous weeks. I know I used them in DFS, so it was pretty nice. Kind of a sad story for Dallas, and I know we'll kind of hit on this one too, real quick. But Travis Frederick, the Cowboys, you know, like All Pro center, currently is battling Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is some type of, I think, autoimmune disease. So he'll be out for at least multiple weeks in the season. This Cowboys offensive line is getting scary at this point. With the Frederick issue, Zach Martin's had a knee issue, but Martin expects to be back for week one. But the rookie Connor Williams looks terrible. I mean, he looks really bad. Their second round draft pick out of Texas. He has been beaten repeatedly in pass pro. He does not look good in the running game. So with this Cowboys offensive line not being as dominant as it normally is, Tudrink, are you worried about Zeke at all? Like for now and maybe going forward if Frederick's like done?
Yeah. I kind of am a little bit. It's I don't mean to correct you here, but it's Guillain-Barré. It's the same thing you said there. But like if that's really what it is, dude, this could be very serious. I mean, it flares up with overexertion and with heavy things. That's kind of the whole job,
right?
Of what you guys do, and this guy is top three center, maybe, and that might not be giving him enough respect. But in the league here, this is huge for a line that's already looking bad. To miss out on that guy in the center is tough. And I mean, I get like he might have to miss a few weeks during the season after he plays some. Like, he can play a couple games and then not play again. Like, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news here, but, like, maybe not even this season. Like, just not again.
Like,
it could be very serious depending on the flare-ups. And I mean, this stuff is damaging nerves.
Yeah. So, scary stuff there for sure for Fresh. Are you starting to worry about Zeke and his, like, long-term viability?
His long-term viability? I don't know if I'm as worried in his long term or like dynasty as I am so much in redraft, because I completely agree. I mean, he's still going to be so highly picked too, and that's what it is. Like, I mean, it even makes me think of somebody like Mixon in redraft. Like, I hesitate to pick more than I do in dynasty just because of that O line. And I mean, no matter how much you like a player and how talented they are, sometimes that affects them a lot.
Yeah, totally agree. So before we get into our main topic tonight, let's just talk a little bit about GT Bets. Tudrink, you'll hit me up about GT Bets.
Yes, let's bring this back up a little bit. Sorry. So everybody's all stretched out now. We're nice and super flexible. See what I did there? Boom, boom. I want everyone to go check out gtbets.eu. You got to use the promo code SUPERFLEX while you're there, and GT Bets is going to match your first deposit up to $500. This is straight cash, homie. Like, there's nothing messed up about this. If you need more money after that, they'll go ahead and max up to 50% on that next deposit. GT Bet U is going to their eighth NFL season now. They are bringing you something called your favorite team here, where you get a half a point added to two of your favorite teams in sports throughout the season. You could make that sucker 6.5 point line. That's your favorite team. It goes up to 7 points. Now you're in the money right there. You can literally go place a bet within minutes. Probably if you're doing it right now, you can get it better in there before we finish this first trade. Go to gtbets.eu, promo code Superflex.
Hell yeah. So let's go into our main topic tonight. Talk about roster construction in Superflex leagues with a little bit of a redraft twist. You know, we normally talk about dynasty aspect for a lot of the topics we cover here, but obviously it's a big draft season. You're going to be drafting Superflex. You're going to be drafting two QB leagues. So wanted to get some thoughts from the guys about how they, you know, look at and how they like to build their rosters from a redraft perspective. So first, I think the biggest question for, I'll start with two drink here. How many QBs on a traditional Superflex roster will you have? You know, let's just say it's 18 rounds. How many QBs do you want on your roster?
I would hope to have 3 starters with all different buys in redraft.
Okay.
3 solid guys. They don't all have to be, you know, super studs up front, but definitely make sure 3 on different buys. I'm feeling pretty good.
Awesome. What about you, Swags? Are you a 3 QB guy? Do you want some more depth than that? What are you thinking?
I'm probably 3 minimal. I agree with him. And if I can get a 4th or 5th, I'm all about it. But it'll probably be hard to make happen depending on your league size. But definitely want those quarterbacks.
So, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I'm like at least 3 also. Probably 4 if I can grab a backup somewhere.
Yeah,
so then we'll go into this. So obviously you're going to be taking your first quarterback relatively early. So Swags, when do you like to grab your second quarterback to fill out that super flex spot? Like what rounds are you finding kind of like a sweet spot for you?
I'm probably going to try to get my first 2 around the same time, and it'll be in the middle of that run. I'll probably watch that very closely, and that's when I'll probably get like, I don't know, maybe Stafford and Dak or somebody like that, some of the middle guys.
Got it. What about you two, Drink? Who are you feeling as when you get your second quarterback? Are you taking them both super early? Are you getting one stud and one kind of middle of the pack guy? What's your thought there?
I think it really depends on where I'm picking at in this redraft. So if I'm on like the 12-13 turn there, you know, the 12 team, if none have gone, then I might go ahead and run to that next turn. If I've already had 1 or 2 go, I might go ahead and grab one to make sure I don't miss out on that top tier. But if none go, then come around that 3-4, we've probably seen quite a bit, but I'm going to go ahead and grab 2 and see if I can't get everybody else to go ahead and panic. I'll get some other pieces to drop for me when I'm coming back on that 5-6 turn.
Okay. So let's go with then when you're talking about, you know, getting some quarterbacks in the 5-6 turn. Do you ever stack a quarterback situation like where there's question marks? So obviously we know like the Cardinals, there's Bradford and Rosen. The Jets have Darnold and Teddy and, you know, McCown. To drink, would you ever like stack a situation where it's kind of uncertain at quarterback?
And in redraft, I don't typically try that out. I guess the one I might be more willing to do would be the Brown situation there, but even then, I think maybe that's just because both of them will be a little bit on that deeper inside. Even see Baker go, you know, before Tyrod and saying, so, yeah, if I could get Baker and then, you know, the next 2 rounds back after that or one middle turn there and get Tyrod, I'm not against that. I don't know that I'm going to do Bradford and Rosen.
Got it. Okay.
What if, though, like, we take the competition out of it, like, who's your favorite, like, backup? Like, who do you want to handcuff, so to speak? And, like, does, like, Ben Roethlisberger and Mason Rudolph or something like that? Like, Mason Rudolph might be somebody I try to get super late, or even Kaiser super late if Rodgers gets hurt. I mean, these guys aren't going to necessarily take over. Necessarily doesn't even need to be over. These guys aren't going to take over. But if their starter goes down, they're going to be viable in Superflex, and the prices will be pretty high right away.
In redraft, you're going to take a pick on Mason Rudolph or Deshaun Kaiser? Redraft? Really?
Super late? Like in a Superflex league? Like Yeah, I'm all about it, man. I mean, why not? You're going to take Theo Riddick, like those kind of guys. Like I keep bringing my Lions up, but those guys are going to go late in a super flex. And I mean, yeah, if the price is right in my last pick of a draft, I'll grab Mason Rudolph.
I would rather fight for it, you know, fab time and throw everything I have at it, or you know what I mean, at that point and see if I got it. I don't know what I want to. Steve, are you doing that?
I'm actually kind of a fan of it. You know, get that younger quarterback with some upside if the starter goes down. I do think it's more of a handcuff play versus, like if I'm a, let's say, Russell Wilson owner, I don't think I'll take like DeShone Kizer. I don't think that'll happen. Hoping that like Rodgers gets hurt. But if I'm the Rodgers owner, I'll take Kizer. If I'm the Ben owner, I may take Rudolph at the end of a draft. Because like you said, if it comes down to a fab thing or God forbid a waiver wire priority order, if I get screwed there, then it just potentially ruin my team. So, I mean, it's the same thing like handcuffing your stud running backs. I feel like it's, you know, you're ensuring your investment that you made earlier in the draft, with a guy who you know is going to be the backup versus sometimes even with traditional handcuffs at the running back position, that guy may be so much worse than your starter that it's not worth it. So I'd be open to it. Yeah, I'm kind of open to it.
If either one of you draft Winston, are you taking Fitzpatrick? You have a guaranteed couple games out of him. Do you like more than like the Mason Rudolph Big Ben stack?
I would think so, because I know Fitzy's just a mad bomber, even though he's got like a noodle arm. I'm totally open for Fitzy for a couple games if I have to. I mean, Jameis played his ass off last year. He was playing so well when he was able to like play a full game. So yeah, I'd be open to that for sure. What about you, Swags?
I kind of like the Fitz idea if you grab Winston or maybe Wentz or somebody like that to take care of at the beginning of the season, but I'm more of a fan of trying to get those guys that might help me win it at the end of the season if something happens.
One more here, just because. So you're going to draft Stafford, Swags. You taking that back up?
Say it again. I'm sorry.
You took your boy Stafford. He got to you.
Yeah.
Are you back?
No. No need to. I mean, man, I shouldn't say that, but I mean, it's not for me. Like somebody like Ben Roethlisberger has somebody they really like behind him, and Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is always in and out of games. I mean, always is a huge word, but I feel like Ben Roethlisberger has more of a chance of missing a game or two than Stafford does. And if that happens, somebody like Mason Rudolph, I don't know.
Oh, I got you. All right.
I even realized that Matt Cassel was now Matt Stafford's backup. That's pretty awesome. Good for Matt Cassel still getting a job. Love it. So, yeah, then my next question is for you guys, Superflex versus 2QB leagues. Like, for you, Swags, what's the big difference? Is there a difference? And what if there is, what's the big difference drafting those two formats?
For me, there's absolutely a difference. Two quarterbacks has a need to start two quarterbacks, and Superflex just gives you an advantage if you draft two quarterbacks. So that need creates a little bit more of a value, but I still want to own the same like numbers, so to speak, but I'm drafting them a little bit earlier and I'm more conscious of it because in the bye weeks, I can't throw a running back in there if I only have two or something like that. I have to have the quarterbacks to fill those. So I'm definitely going a little bit earlier in a two quarterback. In a two quarterback, I'll draft in the first round. I'll start looking at quarterbacks.
Okay, cool. What about you two, Drink?
I mean, unless there is a, you know, severe kind of point differential for the quarterbacks that kind of brings them back to the norm, it's the same to me. I'm outside of having a crazy injury to maybe when I didn't back up Big Ben with Mason Rudolph, I'm playing in that spot every week. So, all right. So, like I said, the difference in points there matters. So I have a redraft league that is super flex, but it's a full point per carry league.
Ooh. So,
yeah. It's completely nuts and I don't get it. The same. It's a 14 team league, which is crazy for super flex too. Maybe that's why they give us the full point to kind of bring that through. But like That's the one time I'll take quarterback well after. I'm probably taking 4 or 5 running backs. But last year I was starting Kareem Hunt and like Melvin Gordon in that super flex spot over like Jared Goff and that staff.
How many quarterbacks did you own?
Only 2.
So if you only owned 2 in a 2 quarterback league, who would you have started on your bye weeks?
In a full point per carry league, because that position comes back to the norm in a quarterback, I would start one of my stud running backs.
No, it's a 2 quarterback
league. It was 2 QB versus super flex. Yeah.
If so if you've QB. Only got 2 quarterbacks in your 14 team 2 quarterback league, who are you going to start on your bye weeks?
A running back.
You can't.
Gotcha. Sorry. Well, I mean, that's why it's a 14 team. Like, majority of teams aren't going to have 3.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you really can't do a 14 team two QB league. It's like insane because there's not enough quarterbacks to go around that are actually going to play.
I think I'm in one though, but even if it's at 12, like, I mean, I think my point stands. Like, how are you going to start your team if you only have 2 quarterbacks in a 2 quarterback league? Versus having 2 quarterbacks in a super flex league.
I gotcha. You win that part of the argument. I will succumb to that one, but it's because of league size there, I guess, is what I was going to talk about.
I don't think it's because in any situation, no matter what the league size is, if you own 2 quarterbacks in a 2 quarterback league, you're screwed.
Right. But more so in a 14 team, like an 8.
The value would go up. Yeah. And every team you add to that league, the value would go up for your quarterbacks. I totally agree. I just don't see how they don't have a little bit more value in 2 quarterback. But I kind of knew going into this one that we had a different stance on it. But, yeah, I totally think they have more value, more need.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's – no, I mean, you're right. I mean, Jesus, what am I going to say? Like, it's obviously in a deeper league with 2 quarterbacks, you need to have – I think you need to have more than 2. I know even though it's wacky scoring with a point per carry, which is, you know, batshit crazy, you know, in a 2 QB league where you need to start 2 QBs every week, you should have 3 at least on your roster. I totally agree, Swags. I totally agree.
Anyone, dang it. Anyone, dang it.
I just think that need gives you that little bit more of a value.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. So let's move to the trade section. Superflex trades, obviously hit us up with that hashtag Superflex. Tag us in, please, so we can answer your trade questions. So first one comes from @FantasyHackerSD. We have a dynasty question, Superflex PPR League. We'll start with Swags on this one. OBJ and a 2019 second. Or Mike Evans, Corey Davis, and a 2019 first. This is a good one.
I actually hit accept super fast on the Mike Evans, Corey Davis, and 2019 first side.
Wowie. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Reason why?
Fine about it. Yep. I mean, there's no question that Odell Beckham Jr. is the best player in this. But, I mean, you get a lot back for him. I'm not that 2019 second. I mean, that does have some value in a super flex. I'm not going to say it doesn't, but not compared to that first. And
right.
Mike Evans and Corey Davis, I mean, they're both startable, at least in our imagination. We think Corey Davis is going to do better this year. And I think Mike Evans will repeat like more like his first few seasons than he did last year. And even last year wasn't as bad as we want it to be. I like that side a lot.
All right, to drink. Which side are you taking, man?
I tried messaging this one and didn't get a response in time because I didn't realize that. I really like to know the size of this league.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If it's
an
8 or 10, you know what I mean? Then I'm going to lean far more to the OBJ side there. If it's a little bit bigger than that, if this is 12, like I think I could be talking to the Mike Evans, Corey Davis in first side, but it would be really tough. I still want to lean OBJ. And maybe I can hold out on this trade until I hear that the contract is final.
There you go. Exactly. Wait like 2 or 3 days. Then he signs that big money deal. Then you make the move.
Try to get a little bit more while you're waiting. Maybe.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
Can I keep my second?
There you go. I mean, for me, I'm obviously, you guys know, I'm not a big Mike Evans fan. That being said, God, it's a lot to get for Beckham.
So what if it was Godwin?
Very nice callback. Yeah.
If it was Evans and Godwin with Corey Davis.
No, if it was just, if it was Godwin instead of Evans.
Oh no, then obviously I don't take it. I take the OBJ side.
I'm just razzing on you.
No, I know you are. I know you are, dude. But yeah, I think I do take the Evans side as much as I'm like down on Evans. I think Corey Davis has the potential to be, you know, every week starting top 20 receiver plus the first. I think it's just enough to get OBJ for me. So I'm in on that one. Let's move to a question from Little Yellow 6, 10 team Superflex PPR league, Carson Wentz, Alex Smith, and Derrick Henry, or Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson, and David Johnson. Let's start with 2 drink on this one.
It's, I feel like it should be easier than what it ended up as.
Yeah, y'all stare at it, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to take the 2 quarterbacks in Wentz and Smith, and I still get Derrick Henry out of the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, DJ's a nice asset on that other side, and you know you at least have the Ravens starter. I'm still not really bought in on RG3. So, but I have 3 startable pieces on one side every week and only 2 on the other.
Yep.
What it boils down to.
You feel the same way, Swags?
Yeah, I do. Because you only, no matter, I feel like the other trade, the person's probably a Lamar Jackson fan. And they're really after him, and then they've got Flacco to secure it. But I agree with 2 drink. I mean, you've got 3 starters. You've got Smith's going to be in Washington for a while, and then Wentz is starting off his career, you know, and that's a lot of security there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, obviously getting DJ is a big, big asset to move, but, you know, Wentz and Smith together, it's your starting quarterback combination, right? For the next God knows how many years.
Yep.
Plus, I think Derrick Henry's a bit underrated. So, yeah, I will take that side as well. Not an overwhelming margin because I really love David Johnson. But, yeah, I'll take that, the Wentz side for sure.
Which is funky because that side only won 51%. So.
Oh, wow. Pretty close.
A lot of David Johnson love there, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of David Johnson, probably a lot of Lamar Jackson love too, I would think. God, you guys put this name in here just to screw me over. I know you guys.
You know it.
Oh, my God. So, Sporcaccione, is that what it is? 1? Sporcaccione 1, we'll call it. I think it's pretty close, right?
Well done.
So, 12-team Superflex, the scoring system is kind of ridiculous, but I love it. So, start 2 tight ends. Start 7... I guess flexes at running back or wide receiver. Quarterbacks get 6 points for pass and touchdown, but -4 for interceptions. All right. So get ready to answer this question because there's a lot of moving pieces. So we got Tyrod Taylor, Teddy Bridgewater, Devontae Adams, David Njoku, and a 2019 second.
Yep.
Or Russ Wilson. Which Boyd is that? Taj Boyd? Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Austin Hooper and Mark Andrews. And just sort of for some context here, the side with Tyrod Taylor also has Aaron Rodgers and Jameis Winston. The side with Russell Wilson has Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield. God. All right. So, Swags, I'm letting you go first because I don't even know what to think of this damn deal.
I mean, first of all, like, why not try to get Baker with Tyrod somehow? But it doesn't look like that's part of the negotiation right now. This trade's so tough because I like Adams and Njoku so much more than Hooper, Boyd, and Andrews put together.
Yep.
But then I feel the same way about Russell Wilson to Tyrod and Bridgewater. I mean, there's parts of this trade I absolutely hate, to be completely honest with you. We are starting 2 tight ends, so it's super nice to get Njoku. He's got that value too, but I don't love getting Tyrod and leaving the other guy with the guy I want now, Baker. Mm-hmm. So I'm so conflicted. I think I'm going to go with the Adams and Njoku side because Adams is the superior wide receiver and it's 2 tight ends.
All right. What about you 2 drink?
Yeah, it's so hard to not take Russ. It really is.
It is.
And I have Mahomes and Baker there too, so I really like that 3. How young is that 3 and the upside there with all of those guys is still nuts. But Boyd is What is the guy I'm probably dropping for something I like more?
Who's on what side of this two drink? Do you know? Who are we talking to? Like, are we talking to the guy or the Tyrod owner or the Russell Wilson owner, or do you know?
I don't believe this is his. I think this is a one that went down in the league.
Gotcha.
He has no part of this.
Okay, so it's all done deal.
So I think I'm going to lean. No.
It's a tough one.
You have A-Rod and Winston on that side, and then you're getting Tyrod and Bridgewater. So you're hoping that Tyrod is your gap to Winston, right?
Like, yeah.
Yep.
Not that long. Or we got to hear that Teddy gets traded. So it's really tough not necessarily knowing on that, but have Adams with Rodgers on that stack. I love. Obviously, me and Swags are both higher on Njoku than you are, Steve, there. I know you get two tight ends on the other side, but I feel like I got to have another tight end on that side too. So that's giving me the Adams and Njoku Tyrod side, but I feel bad about Rodgers.
So I'll be honest, before Steve goes to the side that is getting Russell Wilson or that got Russell Wilson, I wouldn't have done this trade. I would have hung on to Tyrod Taylor and Davante Adams and Njoku and been happy. I think you might have wanted Russ a little bit too much, and your team would have been pretty smooth sailing as it was sitting. But
well, your team better be stacked. But yeah, Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to agree with you guys, and I agree with your take on that, Swags. Like, the other pieces you got in this deal are just trash. Like, I know you're starting two tight ends, but Mark Andrews, I don't think, is really going to see a lot of the field this year. It's a Hayden Hurst show out in Baltimore, it seems like. Max Williams is getting play. Like, Nick Boyle's getting play. It's just it's a really murky tight end situation there. Hooper's an okay asset, I think, for especially if you're starting two quarterback or two tight ends, excuse me. But I love Davante Adams. I'm warming up to David Njoku, but we'll talk about that in a second.
I'm totally man crushing on him, dude.
And Tyrod, I think, can be a decent bridge, you know, till you get to back to Jameis. So I'm taking that Tyrod side. Yeah, I think the Russell Wilson owner here just gave a little bit too much.
For how they were sitting, I mean, they were sitting pretty decently.
Yep. So one more trade from our sister show at FF_breakdown. So Superflex Dynasty startup, but you have to start two at tight end, and it's a full PPR league. So David Njoku or Hunter Henry, straight up. Well, we know what my answer is. We'll go to two drink on this one first.
So by Swag's laugh, I'm guessing he didn't even see that.
I
was kind of
I saw the trade, yeah. Just so
nice. And I like it because I had both of you guys going back and forth. So I run that breakdown account as well. And saw both of you guys going back and forth. Also. And we've had a lot of numbers on this vote. So I'm really stoked about that. Over 700 votes at this point. Just awesome tight ends. It's the middle of a startup. You got to start two tight ends, and it's full PPR. You know the answer is Njoku.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. Njoku.
Oh, man. Like, I love Hunter Henry so much. I do. I think he's a top five tight end asset. So, I mean, I'm warming up to Njoku. Just with how well he's played so far this preseason, I think he's going to be more of a factor in the Browns offense going forward. My big thing was you can find a third tight end to play while you wait for Hunter Henry to come back in 2019. That was my one rationale. Like, you can get a guy like Greg Olsen later in your startup because he's old as hell. You can get a guy like Ben Watson who can still give you a top 12 year if you need that second tight end. And he's probably going to be going in startups in like the 18th to 20th round, even in a two tight end league. Just because he's old as hell, but he's playing with Drew Brees. And the last time he played with Drew Brees, he was like a monster. But I get the appeal of getting a guy like Njoku. I have such a man crush on Hunter Henry. It's bad. It's bad.
Does it matter, Steve, if this is the first tight end you're drafting in a startup? You're still willing to go ahead and take Hunter Henry? and then take two more tight ends, even if they're later after this? Like, let's say you don't have a tight end yet. It doesn't matter. It's still Henry to you.
Yeah, I mean, I employed a similar strategy. I know this is a one tight end league, but in the FFPC draft that I did, I took Henry as my first dynasty tight end. And then I got Jared Cook and Ricky Seals-Jones to be my other tight ends. I know it's a bit different because it's one tight end versus two tight ends, but to me, he's just such a dynamic player and like a locked-in top five dynasty asset.
I feel like if you make that move, that you're almost just deciding during the draft to punt this year.
I got him in the eighth.
But as your first tight end, and so would you take Hunter Henry in a two tight end league before Darius Geis?
No, I would not. I think Geis would still be above just because of – I wouldn't take both of them. If I'm taking both of them, then you're right, total punt.
I just feel like there might be a time in the season where you can get Hunter Henry a little bit cheaper and sell Njoku even more.
I think so too. I think you're totally right. I think Njoku could be – perceived as a, you know, top five dynasty tight end asset at a certain point when he has like two back-to-back games of like 90 yards and a touchdown. So you may get that great value for him. So I think you're totally right there, Swags. I just think in terms of a just player, I like Henry, even though I'm not going to get him deployed this year. But I can see the argument, man. I totally see it because you're going to lock in Njoku as a tight end one for you for the next, you know, half decade at least.
That's
super appealing.
How you guys feeling on McCaffrey?
Extra question. I'm digging it.
Totally extra question.
Love it. I am warming up to Christian McCaffrey. I still don't have him inside my top 10 dynasty backs. Just still think he's a bit limited, even though we saw him break off a run. I don't think that is going to work this season. Their offensive line is scary bad, man. Like, so I know.
Question was, I was trying to find the name while you were talking. That's why I said it, but I didn't find it. But the trade question is McCaffrey for Rashad Penny. And this is Superflex, 12 teams, for Rashad Penny, DJ Moore, and a 2020 first.
I would take the McCaffrey side, I think. Go for it, two drink.
What do you say? Say it again.
I take the sorry.
It's McCaffrey. And for McCaffrey, you would get Rashad Penny, 2020 first, and DJ Moore.
And what's the scoring? It's quarter carry, full PPR?
Superflex. I don't know the scoring.
Yeah, I think, I mean, in a vacuum, I'll trade Chris McCaffrey away for that, I think.
You're kind of getting a lot.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Are you, though? Like, What is Rashad Penny?
Now that's a good point. If Penny busts, I mean you lost the trade.
Right. Like he just got fat in the offseason too. I read a report on RotoWorld today, he gained like 15 pounds the offseason. He's already can't beat out Chris Carson. Like,
and I think DJ Moore will help Cam more than DJ Moore might help your fantasy team just because of they have a lot of weapons there. Even if DJ Moore is really sweet, he might help Cam more than he's going to help us.
Totally agree.
Well, yeah, that's totally a tough one.
Before I would take Christian. Go ahead.
Before we get off another tangent, I just wanted to tell you, Steve, that 63% agree with Swags and myself, not you.
I'm happy I got 37, though. I'll take that. Sorry, yeah. That's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. I'm surprised that 37% agreed with you.
I've been on some back-ass ends of Twitter polls where I've had like a 6% take. And I'm like, all right, well, I guess I lost that one. Whatever.
It's better than the 33% you're given today.
There you go. There you go. That's good. Well played, sir. Well played. Awesome. So, yeah, I think that's a hell of a show, guys. I really do. I'm excited. The NFL regular season's right around the corner. Like, it's getting there. You know, next week will be one more week closer. We'll be down to like less than 10 days. So I'm super pumped. Let's find out where we can find you guys one more time on Twitter. Swags, where can they find you on Twitter?
I am at @DFF_swag. Steve,
what about you too?
Awesome to have you back.
Yeah, glad to be back. Two Drink, where can they find you on Twitter?
@FL2DrinkMinimum, @SuperflexPod. Hit it.
Awesome. And I am at The Real Hlupka, and I am at Superflex Trades, and we are out.
We're out of here. Two Drink, it was pretty cool to have you back, too.
Hey, I'm here. Yeah, I'll be calm. I need my car. You probably got ready, right?
Thanks for enjoying the Super Flexible Podcast at Superflex Pod, one of the many podcasts brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and Dynasty Football Factory, available anywhere you listen to podcasts. So go subscribe to the show and get every podcast as soon as it releases straight to your phone. While you're there, go ahead and rate and review the show. That helps the show out more than you know. It helps get all you Superflexers the best content that you want to hear. On Twitter, follow the host, Steve, at The Real Hlupka, and the two co-hosts, Swag, at BFF_Swag, and Two Drink, at FL2DrinkMinimum. But wait, there's more. Subscribe now and promise to tell a friend. And we will throw in all the other podcasts from the DF Network for free. Be sure to check out
Dynasty Trade Base, Dynasty Warzone, Daddy Watch, Pathology 101, the IEP Edge Crusher, Dynasty Football Fellas, and the Rookie Fever Podcast. Remember to tag at Superflex Pod and at Superflex Trades for all your Superflex and two quarterback needs. Plus, GTFSEU. Use that promo code in all caps, Superflex, and get that $500 match. Do that now. Get fantasy ripped with a Super Flexible Podcast.
It's all good. It's all good.